But what's occurring?
What's occurring? Presented by Zwift. How are you, mate?
I'm all good. I'm all good. Had a lovely day, actually. Got back from Swiss. Tour of Swiss yesterday. Had a nice day with the family, reunited with them. Had a splash down in the water. Nice day out, mate. Nice day out. Can't complain. How are you?
Lovely. Yeah, not quite as nice as that. I had 5.5 hours, few efforts.
Cool.
But yeah, up at Isla now. I'm only gonna come for like 2 nights though, just do a block with the boys. But yeah, I'm not a fan of doing like a week at altitude after Dauphiné before the tour. You know, I'd rather just be at home with the family, chill out, and tour's intense enough, innit? Just get there nice and fresh and ready to rumble.
Yeah, I think that's a big thing for me. Like, however, I'm not sure altitude works for me anyway. But aside, like, the physiological benefits, supposedly, I just like to be at home with the family and just go into that. Like you say, it's so intense just to go in fresh.
Yeah.
Seen the family loads and, yeah.
Well, even just being up here a week, though, doesn't, from what I understand, it's not like you get any benefit really from that, as in blood value wise.
Yeah.
I think it needs to be up in altitude for at least sort of 3 weeks for that sort of thing. I think I might be completely wrong there, but.
Which we rarely do at all.
Yeah, exactly. But I think just coming up a few times in the year helps a bit. But for me, the altitude training has always been about just the mindset of it all. Like being, it's just the training camp and the environment you're in, you know, training hard, eating well, all that type of stuff. And then obviously doing a few efforts at altitude and being at altitude definitely helps as well, because you need to perform at altitude. But I think the whole, like, just being at altitude, you know, I don't know, it's more of an old school way of thinking now, I think, because everyone trains really hard now. But I think back in the day, people thought, oh yeah, go to altitude, just sit on your ass for most of the day, you know, and oh, I'll be flying after this. But it's not quite that, is it? But
it's full
gas. But yeah, to be fair though, the family could have come up here, like all the guys that have wives or kids or whatever, bring their families up here. So there's maybe the core of the tour team here. Yeah, just like, it's just nice being home as well, isn't it? Like, we spend so much time away on the road in hotels and stuff. It's nice to be at home and just properly, like, and just be away from the team. Like, obviously I get on with all the boys and, you know, it's a good environment, but it's nice to just completely switch off from it. You know, watch the Euros, Germany, France tonight, but in kick off in 20 minutes. That'll be good.
Yeah. Wales was a decent game, wasn't it?
Yeah. It's just,
We struggled.
I think because we did so well in 2016, you know, I had a bit of luck and, you know, got to the semis, which, to be fair, I think even the players would admit was a surprise. I think that's kind of skewed. You know, you kind of think, oh yeah, we'll get out the group at least. But it might not, you know. It's only 3 million of us. I think we're doing all right to get there in the first place, you know?
Yeah. It's strange because, you know, when they don't have like one host city and everyone travels to that one host city. Well, yeah, sorry, they have a host city, but like it's been all the games being played all over, aren't they? It's strange. Like it's not the same, doesn't have the same buzz, it feels. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Because obviously the semi-final and the finals in Wembley, isn't it?
Sorry?
Semi-final and the finals are in Wembley.
That's nuts.
So, like, I'm sure in the UK, like, I'm not there now, but I'm sure it doesn't feel like the Euros are in the UK, really. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's something a bit, it's not as good, is it? But to be fair,
COVID,
it's a good distraction now. Nice COVID. To watch.
COVID.
Yeah. Are you cheering England on? Do you want England to do well?
No, you're not. I mean, to be honest, I'm kind of just jumping on the bandwagon. I'm not massively into football, but like in the big tournaments, yeah, you get involved, don't you? If it's on TV, I'll watch any game. But
are you in a sweepstake?
Sorry?
Are you in a sweepstake?
I am. I'm in a sweepstake with my mates from school. It was 12 of us, so we got two teams each. So I've got Turkey and Germany. Pretty happy with that.
Yeah, Germans, right, yeah.
Fiver in each, £60 for the winner.
You won't be supporting Turkey, though, surely, though. They're in Wales' group.
Ah, mate. What, Turkey, Wales? Nah, Turkey, innit? pocket over pride, mate. Pocket over pride.
Actually, are they? Or have I got that wrong now?
No, you got it right. It's
Turkey. Yeah, it's Italy, Switzerland, and them.
In Switzerland, yeah. But Germany, yeah, happy with that. 60 quid. You know, fingers crossed. Are you in a sweepstake?
Not actually. This year I need to get on the old family WhatsApp group, actually. Get that rolling.
Yeah.
We need to do it at the tour as well, don't we? That's a bit of a tradition now.
I don't know. Ooh. I don't know if I'm going, mate. We'll have to wait and
if
see.
Selected. Yeah, if true. Selected. Me too. Yeah.
We could wait till we get to the 16 and then have two teams each, couldn't we? Eight riders. When it gets down to 16. Because it goes from 24 to 16, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Two riders each.
Yeah, well, let's do that, yeah, if we're selected, yeah. Sweet. Yeah. Who won the World Cup one? Who won
me.
The money there?
Me, France.
Oh, of course it was.
I think it was like €400. Yeah, it was. €50.
It was a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I arranged it as well, so everyone accused me of rigging it.
Yeah, wow.
That was at the tour 2 years ago, wasn't it? No, 3 years ago. 2 years ago.
18. That was a good year.
What happened that year, mate?
The best year of the tour in history.
Hey, speaking of like approaching Tour de France, you're desperate for your Tour de France haircut, aren't you?
I know. I needed it before Dauphiné. And, well, you know what it's like with kids. Never got around to it. And then suddenly I was at Dauphiné thinking, holy moly, I need a haircut. But now I'm like, well, I might as well wait till pre-tour chop now. So it needs to last to, well, hopefully the Olympics if selected.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, that's another one in the Olympics. Yeah, you're definitely in need of your pre-tour chop, aren't you?
What happens if I don't get selected? I have to wait till the Vuelta.
Or Tour de France next year, mate.
Actually saying that, I don't just have one haircut a year, do I? So, but anyway. Yeah.
Let's recap back a bit. Dauphiné and Swiss, we didn't race together, did we? You did Dauphiné. Obviously, that was super successful. Richie won. You were third. Got a stage. Yep. Let's just kick it off. We all, you know, this is going to be the talking point. That stage, mate. I was watching that. Owen Dool was staying at mine, so we were watching it here. And we were like, coming in, oh, they're just going to play it cool, you know, stay safe. And then you went. We were fucking jumping up and down, screaming, go on, G! And, yeah, it was like the old famous 1 kilometer attack, which you don't see very often anymore. But when did you think, oh, I'm going to go?
Well, literally K and a half to go, it was. Just because the way the situation was, because suddenly, obviously we went over a climb and there wasn't many guys left to pull. Bahrain had, you know, ridden a while. So Jack Aig was the last man left. And then other than that, there was all the sprinters and I knew there was a few corners and Kwiatkoski was on the front. So it all just kind of aligned, really. And I was like, oh, sod it. This could work. Or at least, you know, give it a go. Came past Kwiatkoski just before the hairpin. He obviously braked a little. And that gave me a bike length or two. I just went for it out of there. And, as I say, you know, Jack Haig had ridden already quite a bit. And he was, the gaps slowly opened. And once he was done, there was, well, I say there was no one left to pull. Valgren did a nice lead out for Carl Brelli, which I messaged him about afterwards. But it worked perfectly until, I didn't look back until maybe 50 meters to go. And he was pretty far behind. And then I got to the line. And as I was crossing the line, I started to put my hand up. And he just came past me so fast. I was like, oh shit, did I actually win that?
Yeah.
And then he was looking back at me and he was like, oh, I don't know, I think you got it. And then I was just like, oh, I don't want to think about, don't want to think I've won now and then lose it. So I was like, oh no, I think you had it. And then they said on the radio I'd got it. And yeah, it was pretty sweet actually. It was a different win for sure.
Yeah, it was class that. Class and then
Valgren, I messaged him afterwards. I was like, hey mate, why'd you hit out with like 500 400 to go? I was like, you're going to do well to win a sprint from that far out. Like, what? How much did Colbrelli pay you? And he was like, oh, yeah, sorry, mate. I just didn't want to get boxed in again, blah, blah, blah. I was like, oh, yeah, I'm not asked because I won anyway. Maybe if he had caught me, I might have been a bit more pissed. But at the end of the day, he's got a race 100%, haven't he? But I was like, you're better off gambling a bit and maybe getting boxed than hitting out that early because you're not going to win that way. But yeah, that was nice. Yeah, it's different.
Class that. It used to be like a bit of a thing, didn't it? Like the 1K attacks, like Fabian did a few, like Gilbert used to do a few, like Eric Decker and Bougard, them guys used to be like the 1K attack specialist, didn't it? But the bunch sprints are so fast now, you can't move in the last K. So that was like a bit different, obviously, because it wasn't a full bunch sprint. But yeah, bringing back the 1K attacks, G.
Yeah, didn't somebody was it Vino and like Brad McGee do it on Champs-Élysées 1 year?
Yeah, what was that? 2006?
Was it them two?
Was it not Vino's own?
Was it Vino's own? Might be.
Vino in the tunnel.
Yeah.
I think it was Vino solo. And then Posselberger did it in the Giro. Posselberger did it in the Giro some years ago, but it was like a real twisty last K, and he was a lead-up man, and they let him go. I think that was the last time I seen it done on the in the big races. Next talking point.
Pull that off, eh?
Next talking point: the touchdown. What happened?
Oh God! But it was a weird one because basically, what's his name? Izaguirre and Lutsenko attacked over the top, so I just following him. Not thinking anything of it, just concentrating on, you know, going down the hill on their wheel. And then I see Lutsenko like looks behind a few times and I was like, why you stop looking around? Just get down the hill. And I was like, so I just had a little look then. I was just curious to see what he was like looking for. And I was like, oh shit, Richie's not even there. Like there was just the three of us. Oh, Jack was there as well. So I was like, oh shit. Like, do I slow down and wait for Richie now, or should I just get down the descent and then wait for him and see what the situation is then? And then it was the very next corner then, and my front wheel just went. And so I don't really know what happened. I think just maybe because I was thinking about that. And then, I don't know, maybe hit a little bit of gravel or gave it a bit of on the front brake too much or whatever. I don't really know. But yeah, stupid crash. And my battery's 10%, so if I die, if I leave, that's why, okay?
All right, no stress.
Hit the deck. It was all good in the end. Got back, they messed around in front, then just rode on the front for Richie. And it was a great race. I think on the Saturday stage, I was feeling good, but I said to Richie, you know, we'd go all in with him, see what he can do. He went and just marked the guys behind, really, and... Yeah, it was great to see Richie win that because it's a race he's wanted to win a lot, and he's had a few.
He's come close, hasn't he, a couple of times.
Yeah, like 1 year when. Well, yeah, he's come really close anyway, put it that way. So, yeah, it was good to see him win. And but something happened right on the first stage. Tim Wellens. So he had a teammate up the road, 10K to go, go over the last climb. And this guy in front, I can't remember his name now, really bad, but the Lotto guy, he was
he won the stage,
riding really well. Hey?
He won the stage, didn't he?
Yeah. And basically, Tim Wellens come up, and as Orica started, what they call Mitchelton, Scott, is it?
Yeah.
They started riding, and he came up, three of them were riding, and he was coming into second wheel, getting in the way, trying to slow him down.
Oh.
And at first I thought, is he like trying to be funny here? Like, and then they just rode past him. Then he did it again. And then he was like, sort of like half riding into them. And I was just like, this guy's actually serious now. He's actually trying to just block them from chasing. I was like, have we suddenly gone back in time and like we're all juniors again? I was like, this is just like ridiculous.
Yeah.
And Quiato was going up to him, having a go at him, like, what the hell are you doing? Dylan, the same. And he was just, yeah, just kept doing it. And it was for literally, it was a good couple of minutes, kept getting in and just trying to slow them down. And it's just not really the etiquette, is it? It's like...
No, I mean, if the team's chasing and they're organised, there's three of them on the front and you have a man up the road, you just sit in the wheels. I mean, if it's...
Sit behind the three of them, maybe.
Yeah, sit behind the three. Don't... To get in between them and try and slow them up. If I was one of them green edge boys, I would have just ridden through him. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking yeah. I literally said...
I was just baffled. I was like, at first I thought it was a joke, and then I was like, actually, he's serious. And he's getting on the radio telling some of his other mates to come up and do it. I was like, mate, what are you? And then every day then, because apparently he must be a neighbour, he must live next door to Dylan, because he kept saying, hey, how's my neighbour? Is he still angry? And he was texting him at dinner and this and that. And, oh, mate, I was like... Then the next day, Lotto, obviously, they put someone in the brake so they don't have to ride. So, yeah, they had a nice start to the whole race. But
some friends.
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, then the rest of the race was pretty standard, really. No other talking points. Well, nice stage win. TT was crap. Kind of... pushed the diet a bit going into it, I think. It was just didn't quite have that grunt in the TT and went off too hard as well. And then just, I was just legless. You know, when you're just like, oh, mate, I've got nothing here now. I've got 7K to go and it's that all pretty
off,
hard.
That guy off Lord of the Rings.
Who's that?
Legless.
I don't, yeah, okay. I'll yeah.
That's
a good one, that. Hey,
you don't get that, do you?
What is that, his name?
Oh, have you not seen Lord of the Rings?
I've seen it, but I don't remember.
The guy with the bow and arrow, his name's Legolas. And you said,
oh, okay.
Well, I was Legolas. So I said, you're the guy. Forget it. Move on.
Good one. Good one, that.
Is wasted on you.
Yeah. But so anyway, that was disappointing. But then, yeah, won the day, the next stage. Oh, Teo was second the day after. 300 meters to go. He started like he thought he was leading me out, but I just let the wheel go, gave him a gap. And he was pretty angry afterwards. He was like, oh, I could have won. So, yeah, he was a bit angry, but he said he built into it though, and he didn't like really kick. And I was like, well, that's the best way to do it if you're going from 300. And you got pretty close, mate. Like, if you'd just gone head to head with Valverde, I think it's, you know, that's still going to be pretty hard to do, but
yeah,
obviously he's competitive. He's a winner. So it's good to see, you know, a bit of anger there when he didn't win. And then Richie was second the next day as well. And then we won the race final day. So yeah, good week.
Yeah, that's solid. That's solid, that, isn't it?
How was Swiss?
Yeah, it was good. So obviously Billy won. And also, I should take a moment to explain Billy, because there's been a few things on social media about Billy. So the reason his name is Billy is because we were at Catalonia. We were both there, weren't we? And obviously, Richie is Port, because we've ridden with Richie Port for so long. When someone says Richie to me, I instantly think, okay, that's him.
But then, and he's been around the longest.
Yeah, he's been around the team for a long
time. The older one.
And then Richard Carapaz turns up and everyone's calling him Richie. So we had two Richies, didn't we? And I was like, well, hang on, we can't have this. Like, on the radio, it's going to be confusing. Because the first day, it was like, Richie, Richie, Richie. No, the other Richie. So I said, right, we got to think of a name for him. So we just tried to think of something completely out there and different that wouldn't contradict anyone else's name. So I said to him, what do you think of Billy? And he was like, oh, Billy, yeah, it's nice. No, it's nice. I said,
yeah, he was laughing, wasn't he?
Right,
yeah,
he loved it. Because I wanted him to call him a name that like he liked. So I said, are you happy with Billy? Can that stick? He was like, yeah, I love it. So, yeah, there's no reason behind it anyway. So anyway.
Sounds like that.
Yeah. So, yeah, Billy won the race overall. Won the Queen stage. In terms of other success, on stages there wasn't like much other. Eddie Dunbar had the best week of his career. He was like, we were kind of a bit weak in the mountains, I'd say, if you look at how the team was made up. So the fact that he stepped up just filled that gap perfectly. He won the Young Riders jersey, 12th on GC, could have easily been right up there in the mix if he'd have ridden for himself. So that was good to see. He was like really, really rode well. And for the rest, yeah, it was just solid week. There wasn't one bunch sprint. The biggest group was the second day Van der Poel one, and that was 50, 60 guys. So I rode at 8 days.
Same with us, to be fair. Breakaway won the first 2 days. You know, I won that other one. Even the one Cole Brelli won was a limited number as well, yeah. Seems to be, those races, there's not too many sprints anyway, is there? But
no, but
it's
not
kind of the way racing's going. Like, sprint days have over 2,000 metres climbing these days, anyway.
But normally in Swiss, they give, like, one proper sprint day, one guarantee.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're not going to get any sprinters coming. There wasn't many sprinters as it was, but, like, I rode 8 days and didn't finish in the peloton once. Just got spat for 8 days. Grim.
Nice weather as well, no?
Oh, mate, yeah. So the first 2 days on paper were the slightly easier days. And it pissed it down for them, which was so obviously makes for a nervous race. And it was, you know, up, down, left. You know, it was quite technical finals. So they were a bit of a mess. But in general, like, Swiss is, like, one of the best organized, nicest races on the calendar, I've always thought. Transfers were really good. And we just had a good bunch of lads. It was good. Is your battery run out?
No, I'm still here.
Oh, you're just saving it. No, it was a good week, really good week. We had one moment that was a bit shit. Stage 6 on the Friday, where there was like a breakaway with Alaphilippe in the front. So we had to bring that one back. That was pretty solid. But apart from that, it was like quite plain sailing, quite simple, quite nice.
How was the Mountain TT then?
Mountain TT was, it was mega actually. I quite enjoyed that day, surprisingly. I rode.
You were quite high up. You didn't do your big sort of sleeves up around your shoulders, chippo style, did you?
No, mate. I was, like I said, the last uphill TT I'd done, I scraped the time limit. So I thought, right, I've got to like focus a little bit here. So I just settled into a nice pace, railed the descent, rode the TT bike, which was the faster option, but less comfy. So I thought, right, I'll just get on with it, sacrifice.
Do you reckon it was the right option, TT bike?
100%. So the first K and a half was pan flat. There was a 2K plateau on top, what was pan flat. So that's 3.5K. And then the first, the climb was like split into two. The first, I think it was 9K. So say the first 4K was like 4%.
Mm.
So I was literally on my tri-bar, on my skis for the first 6-7K. And then it was just like that 4K section on top. So if you look at all the guys who were up there, apart from Alaphilippe, he was the only one who rode a road bike. The rest of the guys were all on TT bikes.
Oh, were they?
Yeah, it was all TT bikes. Ah. So that was quite nice. And then the last day was grim, mate. So I was literally like a yo-yo. Started up the climb, rode the front, got dropped. At the top, I was behind. Got back on the descent, hit the next climb, rode on the front, got dropped, come back on that climb, did the descent, did a bit of the valley, hit the next climb, got dropped. I was literally in and out the peloton 3-4 times, just dropped back. It was just bodies everywhere. It was mad.
That would be nice. What is it like in that situation? Guys with you, for instance, if I can't remember who was second on GC now, Rigo, so if there's an EF rider with you, would they ride with you to get back, or do they just sort of sit on you, or do they do Tim Wellens and try and like stop you chasing?
No. Normally everybody rides. So like, it was pretty nuts.
That's interesting, actually, isn't it? Because you think like they might just like, yeah. Would you ride if EF were chasing to get back? Help them get back, then ride on the front?
But But then I was in a, say you're, most of the time I was like in a big group of say 30 guys. So if there's one of me, there's also one of them. So the numbers are the same. They're getting a guy back, we're getting a guy back. But I think that's one big thing that the cameras don't really see is like, you know, you get dropped in a group of 30. And as soon as I look at a profile, I just pray for a valley. You know, if it's up and down with no valley, you're going to struggle. But if there's even small bits of valley, the way that that
drop off like
groups, the way that the drop group works is unreal. It's like, say yeah, it's 30 guys, literally 30 guy chain gang, every rider going through, and you can just get so much back on the peloton. You know, I think that's the one part of cycling that hasn't really changed so much is that cohesion when you're dropped. I think everyone's on the same wavelength there, and it's amazing that you can get back.
Here's one for you then. If there's just two of you, you and an EF guy.
Depends who it
is. Rigo's leading. And Carapaz. Would you ride with him?
No, I just go back to the next group. If Rigo's leading and me and an EF guy are off the back, I wouldn't pull with him now.
We just sit on him, just giving him abuse. You're never going to get back, mate. If you do, I'm so much fresher and I'm going to drop you straight away.
No, I would. I just wait for the next group. If I was going to bring him back, and if it was just two of us, no, you're right, I probably wouldn't know. Yeah, well, hopefully, moving on then. Hopefully, everything goes well for us for Tour de France selection, and we'll do a pod next week.
Yeah.
Whether we're going or not, either way, we'll do a pod next week. Have a catch up. Talk all
quality. Yeah. Maybe when we get there, if we're selected.
All right. Happy days.
Sweet. Cheers, right, bud.
Take care. Look after yourself.
Ciao, ciao.
Ciao, ciao.